From Jinden to Tarago, Bungendore to Nelligan, Braidwood FM, your local radio station.
You know, one of the highlights of our year is Parliament.
I think. And it's apparently going back next week. Time we caught up with the Federal Member Freedman Arrow, Christy McBain. Hey, Christy.
Good morning, Disco.
How are you?
I am very good, very good. And if it's the highlight of your week, Parliament going back,
yep.
I fear for you, Disco.
I need to get a life. Yeah. That. Well, at least the last time I watched Parliament on telly, I was in lockdown. I had nothing else to do. But I won't be waving at you this time, so I'll be out doing something else. Listen, the COVID rules and regulations that are around for the ACT in New South Wales, it's just a bloody minefield. How are we meant to navigate all this?
Yeah, look, it has been a bit of a dog's breakfast, and I think the frustration has been for many people, you know, most people want to do the right thing and they want to know that they're complying with the rules. But the ACT and the New South Wales rules have never lined up, which has been incredibly difficult for people to navigate. I mean, up until the end of last week, Braidwood wasn't even in the border bubble zone. And we've been successful in getting that in the zone. And then we needed some changes from New South Wales to make sure that there wasn't a requirement for people to do the 14-day stay-at-home period if they entered the ACT for other reasons than work and medical treatment. And we've been able to get some changes there now, and New South Wales has lifted the caution notice or area of concern notice on the ACT finally. So there's no need for that 14-day stay-at-home period now. Yep. And hopefully we can just get our seamless border region back up and running like it was before this pandemic, because, as you said, I think it's definitely highlighted that Sydney-centric decision-making hasn't really worked for regions like ours.
No, exactly right. So what about the border between New South Wales and ACT? Where do we sit with that?
So now that New South Wales has listed that area of concern notice, we can travel into the ACT if we're part of that border bubble region.
Okay.
There's no need for us to do the 14-day stay at home anymore. There's no need for you to request an exemption to enter the ACT anymore, and there's no need to fill out a declaration when you return back to New South Wales if you're a New South Wales resident.
Most people have about 2 hours on their hands. What are they going to do then?
So we are getting back to some level of normality, but there's still a huge chunk of our region, including our coastal region, that isn't part of the border bubble as yet. And, you know, there are still some requirements in place, but at least we are starting to get back towards some level of normality.
Yeah, for the coastal regions, though, is there likely to be change soon, do you think? Have you heard much about that?
Yeah, look, I think change will be coming in line with when the ACT sort of hits that 80% vaccination.
Yep.
I think then perhaps we might see New South Wales allowing more travel for ACT residents out to our region, and also the ACT looking at putting our area into the wider border bubble.
Right. Okay. Well, that's that'll be good news for a lot of people, particularly small business. You know, how would you like to be in small business at the moment? It'd be just a nightmare, wouldn't it?
Oh, look, it is. And I think that our small businesses, we've talked about it a number of times, they've had to deal with a lot lately.
Yeah.
I mean, the changes between the 11th of October and the 1st of December that small businesses have had to implement to serve customers and to check people's vaccination compliance, you know, it will be really hard on a lot of small businesses. And I know some have basically chosen not to engage or remain closed during this period of time.
Yep.
We know that we've had staffing and housing issues, which is causing concern for a lot of small businesses across the region. But, you know, hopefully we head towards a summer period where we have a lot of people out and about, a lot of people that will spend money in our local economies, and a lot of people moving around this border region. And, you know, we've talked about it before. I mean, we're blessed. It's a beautiful region, and we can holiday in and around our own homes. So please make the choice to do that, because there are a lot of businesses right across this region who would dearly love to have local visitors, local people staying in their accommodation houses, and lots of people spending their money.
Does it annoy you to hear politicians in some areas encouraging people to go overseas for their holidays? Why would you do that? And why not encourage people to stay at home and get our economy going first?
Yeah, look, I've been frustrated about a lot of the messaging coming out of Sydney. You know, all of the media on Freedom Day, when effectively for a lot of us that meant additional restrictions in our regional areas. And I think that was probably really poorly handled by politicians and by media, because for some of our regional areas, that's actually meant more restrictions than they previously had in place, which is frustrating. But, you know, what we need to be doing right now is really helping the Australian economy, and especially our tourism economy, revive itself.
Yeah.
We need to be staying in our local accommodation. We need to be spending money at our local restaurants, in our local retail shops. And I tell you, there's a cohort of businesses being travellers who have probably done it the toughest during this whole period.
Yes.
They have not had, you know, forward bookings for some time.
Yep.
And we are still unsure about when we're opening Australia up to overseas travel. So if you can and you are going to holiday in Australia, please think about booking your next holiday with your local travel agent, because that's an industry that has been doing it incredibly tough from day one of this pandemic, and it hasn't gotten any easier or any better for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, listen, I, like others, have tried to navigate my gov over the last couple of days, and the damn thing keeps on crashing. I suppose it's the volume of people trying to use it, but maybe it needs a tweak or two.
So you're not the first person I've heard this from. There has been and you know the two people that I hear it most from are my parents, who are trying to navigate the system. It's been, I think, incredibly frustrating for a number of people who are trying to download that certificate onto their phone to make sure that they are ready when they are asking some of our shops. You know, I think, again, there has been a number of issues during this pandemic where we haven't seen good forward planning from the government. Clearly, quarantine and vaccine rollout is one of the two of those. But moving towards, you know, when we're all coming out of this lockdown, there was obviously going to be a requirement for us to have these certificates on our phones. We know for some time that state governments had been flagging that that's what they would implement in the short term, and you know, any forward planner would have thought we have to make sure our IT systems are up to this. So I just think, again, just a lack of foresight in understanding what the requirements are going to be going forward, and considering you've got a national cabinet in place. I'm really unsure about what discussions they're having in National Cabinet if we haven't even got to the basic one of, do we have the IT system to deal with this?
Yeah, absolutely. 20 to 12, we're speaking with the Federal Member for Eden Monaro, Christy McBain. Now, Christy, Parliament is back next week and you're going to the big house on the Hill. I would love to be a fly on the wall for the first session. I think it's going to be a cracker.
Yes, Parliament does resume on Monday.
Yep.
There are still some people that will be remoting into Parliament because of various requirements that they have in their states.
Yep.
We know a number of politicians potentially have been at Tier 1 exposure sites, so they cannot attend. I'll be in attendance because there's no requirements on me to quarantine, and I can travel up quite easily in a private vehicle, so I'm lucky in that regard.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think you're right, Disco. I think that the first couple of sessions might be crackers at Parliament. There's a lot that sort of happened over the over the, the 8 week break that we have had, and what it's been fabulous to start to see our regions opening up more fully. I think there are still a lot of questions as to why some of our regions haven't hit the 70% double vaccination rate at this point in time, and we've talked about supply being an issue, and we can see it on the ground across some of the regions that I represent. Obviously, there's some IT issues. There is going to be, I think, some discussion on why we still don't have a federal integrity commission, giving some of the issues that are happening in New South Wales and Victoria.
Absolutely.
I think it's about time that we try to restore people's faith in democracy. And one of the reasons that I got involved in politics at a local level and then obviously at the national level is because I want to see decisions made which are in line with community expectations.
Yep.
I want to make sure that we are advocating for our community first and foremost. And I think the introduction of a federal integrity commission is an essential component of that.
Yeah, well, there's an old line, Christian, don't take offence at this, but it's how do you know when politicians are lying, their lips are moving? We want to stamp that out, don't we?
Well, look, lucky for you, Disco, I don't call myself a politician.
Right.
I call myself a parliamentarian.
Nice.
You know, I come from a different view on how politics should operate to some of my my counterparts.
Yes.
And, you know, I get incredibly frustrated when people put time, energy and money into grant applications and they're not treated on the same level playing field. But, you know, we've got these series of spreadsheets which essentially point to areas where we should give money because they're held by our friends or they're marginal seats. And, you know, it's about time we really start to restore faith in democracy, and the best way to do that, as I said, is implement a federal integrity commission, and that is definitely one of my key priorities. We've got it at local government level, we've got it at state government level.
Yep.
We need to have it at federal level as well.
Absolutely. Now, affordable housing is another one that's really being discussed a lot where I live. In Batemans Bay, and I know it is in the Bega Valley as well. It really is a problem, isn't it? I mean, rents are so high. There are so many people that I know of that are homeless that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's an issue right across the region at this point in time.
Yeah.
The price of housing has escalated, and the price of rents have gone up substantially. And obviously, we need to work together, all three tiers of government, to make sure that we can alleviate this problem. From a planning perspective at the local and state level, to implementing better social housing schemes at a state and federal level, to making sure that we are incentivizing our developers to put a proportion of their blocks or a proportion of their houses or units to affordable housing itself. I've held a series of roundtables across the region talking about housing issues. I know the New South Wales government, following on from that, actually put in place a commission to look at the issues in social and affordable housing. And it's one of the reasons that the Labor Party has put forward its policy on social and affordable housing, $10 billion housing fund. Because this is an issue right across the country. We need to be assisting people who are fleeing domestic violence. We need to be changing that social housing waiting list, which is extraordinary. And we already know in New South Wales alone there's a 500,000 social housing shortage in regional New South Wales. So, you know, there is a lot of work to do, and as I said, it involves all three levels of government, and all three levels of government need to be working together on this. And that's why I was pleased that the Labor Party came out with that policy to actually hold up the federal government's end of working to end this.
Absolutely. Now, listen, do you take any notice of opinion polls?
Not really.
Okay. Well, righto then. Well, there's no need to ask you the next question.
Well, I do the old, you know, finger in the air type assessment.
Yeah.
Look, I think the opinion polls can tell you bits and pieces, but, you know, there is no better way than to understand what the electorate's thinking than going out and talking to people, and that's how I go about it. And,
absolutely.
I pay small attention to what opinion polls are saying, and,
yep.
you know, usually disco, they're pretty city-centric, so...
Yep.
Getting out and talking to the community is by far a better measure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, but look, enjoy your first week back in the White House for the big not the White House, the big house for the big house for a while, and I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting week. I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, but boy, that's going to be a discussion on the first question time in Parliament should be a cracker, I think.
It's going to be good, Disco, and I look forward to your assessment of it the next time we have a chat.
Yeah, all right. Okay, thanks, Christy. Good to talk to you.
See you later.
See you, mate. There goes the Federal Member for Edmund Arrow, Christy McBain, who will be attending the Big House next week and for the first sitting of Parliament for a while, and we'll speak to Christy again in about 2 weeks' time and get a bit of a wrap-up of the first session back for quite some time.
This is Braidwood FM.